Hey, what's going on? Welcome back. This is Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. This is episode 17. I'm going right along here, three episodes away from 20 episodes into my podcast adventure. And I just want to thank all the people that have been listening. I've definitely been noticing some trending up as far as, listens. This is my first podcast since late February. There just wasn't a ton of news stories coming out worth making a podcast about. But today I'm going to talk about the combine. That's right. This would be the combine week in a normal year. And so many news stories fly out of the combine. So many big stories come out, whether it's trade rumors, whether it's obviously the players themselves, their performances are typically worth, things that are worth discussing all the way up into the draft. We're being robbed of all that. So we're going to have to really wait for pro days to really, the virtual pro days that are bound to happen to really get those type of stories. But just the trade rumors themselves, that's the thing. Free agency rumors are usually pretty big this time of year when it comes to the combine in Indianapolis. And I'll never forget, a long time ago, I heard an agent, maybe it was Drew Rosenhaus on some radio show, some podcast somewhere, was being asked about what the combine's like for an agent. And he said flat out, even though the tampering period, I think this year starts on the 17th of this month, that's typically, they didn't used to have that. So they used to basically, the way he told the story was when he would go to the combine and everybody's there. If you don't know, if you go to the combine, every GM, owner, scouting department, all that, they're all there watching these guys work out and show what they can do. And he, as an agent, basically would just go around team to team and meet with people. And he said that when he left the combine, he wanted to have three solid offers for his clients. So even though that technically was not legal, and that's kind of what the tampering period was created for, these guys have never followed the rules. It's all a huge charade. The NFL and the free agency, these guys are talking behind the scenes long before they're technically allowed to be or supposed to be. It's just the nature of the beast. I mean, the idea that when you hear these rumors coming out this time of year, it's typically because of that. These decisions are by no means being made within the tampering period. They're by no means being made, they're being discussed throughout. These things, it's such a charade. It's such a facade to think that these guys are making life-altering decisions, or these huge negotiations of millions of dollars are being done in the course of a couple of days. No, they're usually being done. I mean, if they're being preliminarily done, typically at the combine. So we're being robbed of that, but I can guarantee you that the rumors you're hearing, there's still a lot of basis of truth to them, because this is still the same time period. These agents want to get their ducks in a row for their clients well before the league year starts, and that's coming. That's only a couple of weeks away. The franchise tag deadline is probably the next big date, and I want to talk about that as well. I want to talk more specifically about divisional opponents as far as that's related, because there's definitely some major franchise tag news that's bound to drop, especially when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. That's one of the reasons that I maintain that the Eagles have a very bright future and a very good chance of winning this division next year, partially because, you just have to look around the division and say who's the quarterback's going to be. And when you look at the Dallas Cowboys especially, and their ongoing contract situation with Dak Prescott, or lack thereof, I should say, I seriously have my doubts if Dak Prescott is going to be a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, it's eerily quiet. There's just not enough coming out. And it's definitely not a good look to see, basically the public feuding that is coming out. I mean, the Joneses family, I guess via their podcast, has come out. Whenever you're trying to sign a guy who has, you have no real holdovers like the Cowboys do. He's not under contract. He's not even franchised yet, and they don't even have any money. I was looking at their salary cap. I think they're about $18 million under as of right now, which the salary cap franchise tag would be for Dak, like $38 million. So they're not even halfway to the amount of money they would need to basically retain him under that tag. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but if they're going to start trying to create some salary cap to keep Dak Prescott, they got to start doing it soon. I mean, the deadline deadline's coming up. My understanding is that when the league year starts, you have to be under the cap. The Eagles obviously have their own issues, but the actual cap number hasn't even come out yet. The official firm cap number, it's believed to be within a certain number, and a certain number that can fluctuate by about $10 million. And from what I'm hearing, there's a good chance it's going to be towards the higher end. So the Eagles are currently, what, $32 million over? If that were to happen, they'll be about $22 million over. And then they'll be in a situation where they could probably create some wiggle room with some restructures, which is what I think they're going to do. In a previous podcast, I discussed there's really two possible futures for the Eagles. They could do something similar to what the Dolphins did, where they were just, you know, basically having a fire sale, getting guys out, anybody out that could essentially get them some draft picks back and just go young. And as a fan, I almost want to do that, but with the exception of a couple of names. I like that idea based off of the fact that I'm just so tired of seeing money and a draft position dictate playing time. And if you're an Eagles fan, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. We've seen that so much over these years. And it got to the point where it made me just hate players, which is really undeserved. Guys like Alshon Jeffrey, who helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl and played a very big part in that. It was very similar to Ryan Howard with the Phillies when he was just a shell of himself but still costing like an arm and a leg, and you could tell that giant salary cap number was just bringing down the franchise. And it's not really fair to him that basically I started to feel that way. There was multiple players like that with the Eagles throughout the last couple of years where you just got tired of it. Draft status especially. Guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside playing when you could see that he just can't play. Guys like Sidney Jones retaining a roster spot for way too long because he was a second round pick. And then guys like right now, Derek Barnett, who is not, he's set to make $10 million. He's definitely not worth $10 million. He has not made $10 million worth of production, but it's to the point where he's on his fifth year contract. If the Eagles wanted to save that $10 million, I'm pretty sure all they have to do is rescind the contract and they would basically free up $10 million. Now to the point where, you know, I'm so sick of how mismanaged and how poorly drafted a lot of these guys are, that I would almost take that approach and go just scorched earth, just strip this team down to the nuts and bolts and just let the young guys play. Because Josh Sweat is much cheaper and he's played much better than Derek Barnett. You have guys like, I mean, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he isn't doing anything. But then you bring in a guy like Travis Fulgham off of waiver wires from, I think, Detroit. And he's catching 10 balls against Pittsburgh, and for whatever reason, he just loses his job, or loses his snaps, rather, to Alshon Jeffrey because they're trying to recoup some value so that they could possibly trade him to save a few million dollars rather than just give the fans what they want. I mean, ever since, you know, Little League or whatever, since Pop Warner football, whatever point you started playing football, you know, high school, whatever, if you ever played football in your life, it's just an understanding that you earn your way onto the field at the best guys play. But the second that money gets involved or draft status gets involved, especially with this team, they just have a hard time letting go. And I think it's all ego to a certain extent. A lot of it's Howie's ego that he drafted these guys and he doesn't want to look like a fool. If he used a second round pick on a guy, he doesn't want to look like a fool. Or if he used a first round pick on a guy like Derek Barnett, Derek Barnett hasn't played to the point where you just want to let a guy like that go. He hasn't played that bad. The guy's still a good player. He still makes plays from time to time. He's still a guy that I wouldn't mind having on the roster. It's just at some point you have to figure out how to get him here for something less. You got to either, you know, maybe you give him a contract, a four-year deal, $20 million or something like that. I don't know if he would take that because pass rush is such a premium market. I'm sure on the open market, a guy like Derek Barnett would probably do pretty well for himself. But this is a very similar situation, in my opinion, to Nelson Aguilar the previous year, where he was on a $10 million fifth-year contract, same way. And there was a lot of rumors that the Eagles were trying to trade him at that last year's combine. And it just, you know, it never materialized. That was something that you heard 2 years in a row that they were trying to trade him. It never materialized. And even back then, I was all for it. I was like, you know what? He's played well. But if you can get something for him, I'd much rather have that $10 million roll over end of the following year. And then if that happened, the Eagles wouldn't be where they are right now. They'd be $10 million closer to getting under the cap. So You know, I expect between now and between now and the league year starting, there's definitely going to be more moves. There's definitely going to be more trades. There's definitely going to be more restructures. There's going to be more news. But as of right now, there isn't a ton going on. There's just a lot of concern and a lot of trying to fit square pegs into round holes. And all we can really do is, you know, just say what we think could possibly happen. But the Eagles have to get under the cap somehow. And I don't think, I mean, there's definitely nobody, you know, if I look at their impending free agents, which is a really, it's a poor list. They don't really have a ton of guys. If you look at their free agency, their outgoing free agents. And this is, to me, like, you know, one of the few things that people don't talk about enough. I'll be hard on Howie for guys that he's picked. I'll be hard on Howie for some of the people that he's choosing to restructure and handicap this team. But he has done a pretty good job of letting retaining the players that they want to build around and letting the trash go. Because if I go over the list of guys, of outgoing free agents, none of them are really, you know, worth anything. Like, I'm not concerned if any of them leave. Maybe a few of these guys I might take back on another one-year deal, another cheap veteran minimum deal. But they've pretty much locked up or been in the position to lock up every player of need or of necessity, which is something that, you know, they don't get enough credit for. They already retained the three guys that I would have liked to see back: Boston Scott, Greg Ward, and Alex Singleton. They already retained all three of them. They were all, I think, exclusive rights free agents. And they've already retained all three of them. Those are the three guys that I was like, well, they performed pretty well last year. I want to see them back. Of the guys that are leaving or on the way out that, you know, you could still see something happen. The only guy left that I'd really say that I would like to see here is Jalen Mills. I still think that Jalen Mills is a quality enough cornerback number two. Or if they keep him at safety, I think that he played enough quality snaps that I wouldn't mind seeing him back. It's just all about price. And I don't think last year he made $4 million. I wouldn't, I still think that's a bit high for him. I don't know what you can get him for. I don't know what his market value is. I would like to see that number come down. But he's the guy I'd like to see him on the team. I mean, the guy, he helped us win a Super Bowl. He's one of those leader type players too. No matter how good or bad he is a vocal leader. I remember going into the Falcons game in 2017. This is a guy, he's a seventh round pick. He's a rookie. Guys, you know, obviously he's not that great of a, he's never been that great of a player or made a ton of plays on the field to the point where players should follow him or respect him like that. But he was the guy in the hype video coming out of the tunnel saying, let's go win this game. You know what I mean? Hyping up the team. And they've had plenty of vocal leaders, guys like Malcolm Jenkins, who was on the roster, obviously, at the same time. But he was the guy in the middle of the huddle, the vocal leader in the middle of the huddle. And that speaks volumes to me. That's a value that you can't put money on. Locker room guys, great locker room guys. The second Jalen Mills was drafted in the seventh round, he dyed his hair green, and he was just Eagles for life. And that's a guy like that. I want a guy like that around. So I want to figure out what that value is, because no matter where he goes, he's going to take that same mentality, that same winning attitude, that same leadership anywhere he goes. And he might not be the biggest playmaker out there, but I think he's good enough. I think he's a quality player, and I would like to see him back. I don't know what to expect with that. But the rest of these guys like Nate Gary, nobody's going to want him. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles bring him back on a super cheap one-year deal, which I would not be happy about. But the way that he played last year, I don't see anybody in the NFL calling. You know what I mean? He's a guy that maybe, if the Eagles don't bring him back, he's probably going to end up out of this league. Guys like Joshua Perkins, who's had some moments here and there. These are all guys that maybe they bring back on a cheap one-year deal because nobody else wants him and they have no other options. Jonathan Ford, Corey Clement, who's just been downhill ever since the Super Bowl year, hasn't really done anything. I don't really see the point of bringing him back, at least not to the point. I mean, maybe they'll bring him back and then he wouldn't make the roster or something like that. You got to upgrade that third running back position, especially if Boston Scott's your second. They need a third back that can do more, that can basically give them more reps, give them more snaps, give them more carries. That's something that they really have to upgrade. So Corey Clement, in my opinion, has got to go. I think that they'll probably draft a running back this year to take another, you know, another mid to late round, a cheap option, bring somebody in that has a little bit more upside than Corey Clement. Duke Riley, I think, played pretty, you know, he gave a few quality snaps last year. Wouldn't mind having him back once again because the Eagles linebackers are so porous. But once again, these are all one-year maximum guys. None of these guys I want back for anything more than than that. Richard Rodgers, you know what I mean? He's a guy who's barely hanging on. He made a couple plays last year. You know what I mean? It's another guy I wouldn't mind having him back, but I really could care less either way. Cravon LeBlanc, here's a guy who, you know, at some point Philadelphia Eagles fans are pretty high on, and I don't know why, but, you know, if they bring him back, if they don't, whatever. Then there's guys like Vinny Curry, Hassan Ridgeway. I take them both back because obviously they're good rotational guys. But once again, one-year guys. Nickel Robey Coleman, you know, he was a guy that when they brought him on, a lot of people thought he was really going to solidify that slot position. Did a pretty good job. I don't know how I feel about bringing him back. He's only 29. Another one-year guy. Nate Sudfeld, I don't really have any interest. That guy's shown what he is. He's to a point now where he's probably going to cost a couple million that we don't have. I'd rather just draft a quarterback in the mid to late rounds or something like that. Jalen Mills, obviously, like I said, he's the only guy that I would give a couple of years to. You know what I mean? I would give like a 2-3 year contract to, and it really depends all on price. But all these other guys, whether the Eagles keep them or not, could care less. I don't know if a lot of them could even get a job anywhere else. And then the last guy is Cameron Johnson, the punter. That's a guy who does a pretty good job. I mean, honestly, like he's probably the last one on here that I would say they probably need to lock up. But they could go cheap and just try to bring in somebody to work up, because I don't think they can afford to spend millions on a punter. Which if anybody that you want to lock up, it's going to cost, you know, he might get like a 3-year, $10 million contract or something like that, or be worth that. Who knows? I'm not really sure what his value is. But if you want to lock him up long-term, it's going to take something like that. And I don't know if the Eagles have the luxury that they can do that, because Cameron Johnson was only making $750,000. I think that they might go that route of trying to find a guy, because obviously they're not in a position where they're going to win anything anytime soon. Anything meaningful. Like I said, I do believe they can win the division this upcoming season, but they're not going to be winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. And I don't really think that, when you're competing at that point, you might want to have all your ducks in a row and have all the little things really count, and you might need a great punter or somebody reliable. Right now, the way this next season is going to be, I don't really think that's really too high of a priority. I think it's more important to try to retain some of the, not have to basically restructure contracts or cut players to the point where they can get under the cap. I don't think they should be worrying about a punter right now. So obviously, with the franchise tag deadline coming up, not a single person on this list is even close to consideration. That was something they probably had a 5-second conversation about in management as far as the Eagles are concerned, and no name is even close to that. But like I said, the Cowboys are definitely in a bind with Dak Prescott, and that's probably a way more interesting story right now to see how that plays out. I've been saying for a while, this guy has Kirk Cousins written all over him as far as his contract situation. If they would have just, the second that Carson Wentz got his, you know, $32 million a year, I remember there were stories that he basically just wanted 33. He just wanted to be right over top of that. And if they would have signed him right away, they would have locked him up. They wouldn't have to be worrying about all this. They wouldn't have to worry who their quarterback's going to be next year, because that's kind of where they're at now. And I really think that the Cowboys are in a position. I mean, I don't think it's a bad position to be in. I don't think they're in a bad position, because if they did lose Dak, they're going to be out from underneath their salary cap nightmare within a year, just like the Eagles are. I don't think that Dak's ceiling is that high, especially coming off of that injury. I don't know if that injury is going to have any long-term effects. But if that injury takes away his mobility, he's significantly less valuable to any team. If you look at, you know, basically, because he's not the most accurate guy in the world. He's decent when it comes to throwing the ball, but when he gets inside the 10, he pretty much runs it in just about every other time. Like, that's a huge weapon in his arsenal as far as scoring inside the red zone. Is the closer he gets to the red zone, or even critical situations as a whole, he's very run reliant because of his lack of accuracy. Accurate quarterbacks, they try to fit it in. You know, they'll try to fit it in those tight windows, because obviously the closer you get to the goal line, the tighter those windows get. He's a guy who wants to take off. It's very predictable, but he's been very successful with it regardless. So if his mobility is hurt by that, or if, you know, his throwing motion is affected because of the Achilles, if he has a little kink in his step, or if he has a little bit of a confidence issue where he's just not planning and not pushing off of it, or any number of things, you know what I mean? There's any number of things that can come up. because of this injury, to the point where I think that the Cowboys are right to hold the line. I don't know what team in the league is going to give him a monster contract, regardless of what he's done in the NFL, based off of the unknown quantity of that injury. It'll happen. Teams are, they'll get desperate and they'll throw money at him. They'll probably have some language that which will allow them to get out from under the contract in a year or two, based off of his performance or based off of just something to get themselves out from under that if the injury turns out to be worse than they're expecting. But they'll bring him in. You'll see there's teams that really need a quarterback, and they'll bring him in with a big contract just to get some sort of answer at that position. A lot of teams are still looking, and there's not a lot of guaranteed answers out there. So I do think that on an open market, Dak will get paid, and I think that's part of the reason that you're not hearing a lot from Dak. He's probably just basically waiting to get out the door. So if that happens, one of the Eagles' biggest rivals will be going into the 2021 season without a quarterback. And I think that that's huge. I mean, I've said it before on this podcast in previous episodes. If you look around the division, if you just look at the quarterback's position, because that's obviously the most important position when it comes to winning and when it comes to sports, I like where the Eagles are at, because I think that Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, grades higher than anything else in the division. He projects higher than anything else in the NFC East right now, and that includes Daniel Jones, who has been just mediocre his entire career in New York so far. And I know it's a small sample size. He hasn't been there long, but this guy hasn't done anything. My long lasting impression of him is him falling over his own feet, running into the end zone, against the Eagles last year. I mean, that to me, it perfectly sums up who this guy is. He reminds me a lot of Eli Manning, who I also remember fumbling the ball when nobody touched him against the Eagles and essentially costing them the game. I mean, there's so many parallels as far as the awkwardness and the goofiness of those two guys, but I don't think that there's any comparison that Eli Manning was obviously a better quarterback. But ultimately, I mean, when it's all said and done, I think Daniel Jones will be a colossal bust, and people will look back on him and be like, wow, we were right from the jump to boo that selection. But he has flashed, so you can't say that his career is, he has flashed enough that he could make a jump this next year. We don't know. But that's pretty much it. Those are the only two guys right now, I feel like, if Dak leaves, that the only two quarterbacks in the division right now. I don't think that the Reds or the Washington team, almost made that mistake again, the Washington football team even has a quarterback on the roster. They're going to be probably looking towards the draft. Maybe they break the bank for Dak, because obviously, that's the type of moves that they make. They don't always make the wisest moves. But that, I think Ron Rivera is running the show there, so it's really going to be interesting to see what he decides to do rather than Daniel Jones. That might be signing a guy like Dak might have been more of a Dan Snyder move rather than a Ron Rivera move. But Ron Rivera, he doesn't have a great when he took the job in Carolina, he took the team that had the number one pick and they fell into Cam Newton. So he doesn't have a great track record rather, of finding quarterbacks. That's something that maybe Andy Reid will have, or a lot of offensive minded coaches might have more of a history of success than a defensive-minded coach, coach like Ron Rivera. So I don't have a ton of faith that he's ever going to solve that quarterback position. A lot of people say, well, the Washington team is just a quarterback away. Well, that, you could say that about a lot of teams that never find a quarterback. The Chicago Bears have been just a quarterback away for years now, maybe longer. It's something that a lot of teams just can't find that guy, and that's the most important position. So until they do, I'm not too worried about that team in the long run. And then if the Cowboys have to draft a quarterback at number 10, that's going to be, obviously, that'll bode well for the Eagles as well. So there's only, in my opinion, there's only two quarterbacks in the division right now. I really feel like Dak Prescott's on his way out. And the only two are the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, who I thought seriously flashed. I mean, the first two games against two playoff caliber teams, the Saints and the Cardinals, I thought he flashed to a point where the sky was the limit. I mean, I still think, I know a lot of people a lot of people are saying draft a quarterback. A lot of people are saying that Jalen Hurts, because of the downward trajectory of the following two games, which is kind of incomplete because he only really had one game that he didn't look that great, and that was the Cowboys game. And then the Washington game at the end of the season, they pulled him. I think he would have won that game at the end of the day, and which is sad that they lost that opportunity to see what that guy could do. I mean, if it was a tight game, it would have been nice to see if Jalen Hurts could pull that game out. And just to go forward. You know what I mean? That's what everybody has to be doing. They have to be analyzing these guys. They have to be looking at what these guys have. And if he would have clutched that win against Washington, which I think was a one-score game, that would have said a lot about what Jalen Hurts is for the future. And they lost. They took that opportunity away from themselves. But I think ultimately it will matter when it comes to our draft pick. I'm glad that we lost the game, considering that it's much better to be drafting sixth. I think they have a much, the potential for the number six pick is much higher than the potential for the number nine pick. Although one of the names that I'm hearing a lot about, and I just want to address this, I'm hearing it from, I'm hearing it on the radio, I'm hearing it from mock drafts, I'm hearing it from a lot of Eagles fans and social media groups. I don't understand the love affair with Kyle Pitts, the tight end slash, receiver. He's like a combo guy. He doesn't even look like a tight end. I mean, honestly, he's so slight of frame. He's just not, he's not like your traditional tight end. He's not a guy you're going to line up and block on one play. I mean, he's more of a, that's fine because you got Dallas Goedert, who is that type of classic tight end. They call it a Y tight end. Kyle Pitts is a guy you can move around in formations. You can do a lot of different things. But Kyle Pitts is more like a Travis Kelce, who's essentially a receiver. So a lot of people I just keep seeing falling in love with Kyle Pitts. And I get it. His potential is really high. The guy's got an amazing frame. He's 6'6". He can run. We'll all know what he is once you hear when you hear what his 40 time is. That's when the hype train will really take off. If he runs like a 4.5 or better, which once again, it's virtual pro days. I think the combine testing was probably a better metric. But you're going to see some outrageous 40 times, definitely some tweaked 40 times coming out of these pro days. It's going to make it sound like this is the fastest draft in NFL history because there's no NFL scouts there that are going to be, basically making sure that these are accurate. We're not going to, I don't know what to make of Kyle Pitts, but I do know that if he's on the board and so is Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase, there's no question that the Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith are better. So when I keep hearing people go on about, I'm not against Kyle Pitts, I'm not against him as a player or a prospect, but I do know that Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith had more yards and touchdowns in one season than Kyle Pitts had in his entire college career. So if they're all on the board at the same time, it's a no-brainer. You got to go with the receivers. So that's the only thing. I mean, if they're both gone, then I guess I'm comfortable with Kyle Pitts. But realistically, I think to maximize the sixth pick, I think you should be trading back. If both of those receivers go before the Eagles draft, that means that a lot of quarterbacks are still on the board. And if that's the case, the Eagles need to trade out and trade back and basically get what you can, because that, to me, that's the only way it makes sense. I see the draft falling out where quarterbacks go ahead of the Eagles in large quantity, and one of those receivers, at least one of those receivers, will be there, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. Those two guys, one of those two guys should be there at six, and that's pretty much my hope. I mean, I do like Kyle Pitts. I just don't think he's a top six prospect in this draft. I would rather, there's a number of guys. If we're sitting at six and both of the receivers are gone and we're not going to take a quarterback, it's at that point that I really think that there's, Micah Parsons or, the cornerback out of Alabama, I really like. I mean, there's a lot of, Patrick Surtain II. There's a lot of guys out there that I think are better prospects. If they're going to sit at six, I don't think Kyle Pitts, especially since we already have Dallas Goedert, I don't really find that's a huge need. I know they don't necessarily play the same position, but I think Goddard can do a lot of the same things. I think that you can move him around in the offensive formation as well. So I got my heart set on those two receivers, but if they're both gone for whatever reason, there's a number of scenarios that I would accept. Drafting Kyle Pitts at six is not one of them. Trading back for somebody that wants to grab one of the quarterbacks, I would accept. There's a lot of different things I would accept, but that to me would constitute a little bit of a failure if they drafted Kyle Pitts number six over what I think are some better, more blue chip prospects that could probably be had in that spot. So since free agency is coming up, I also thought it'd be a good idea to try to sift through some free agent names and look for some bargain basement guys. I really think that given the situation this year with the lowered salary cap number, I think you're going to see guys taking a lot less, and I think you're going to see quality players I think a very savvy GM could find a lot of opportunity in this free agency period. And I'm going to go over some guys that I think that could fall through, fall through the cracks, and guys that I would like to see the Eagles try to get. I mentioned earlier that, I think a third running back, or more importantly, maybe even a second running back. I don't think that Boston Scott is a guy that he didn't do a ton last year. He's a guy I'm glad that they retained, but I think that he's more adequately suited as a third running back. I almost think that the Eagles need a second running back, or even a guy that could be more of a first running back, considering that Miles Sanders really seems to be more comfortable, in the screen game, or, he's more of a pass catching back. Like, he seems more like a third down back. I think they need more of a between the numbers pounding type of running back. So I think that there's a lot of options. Running back is already a devalued position. So I think the Eagles could take any number of guys I'm about to mention and get them for a pretty cheap contract, because, like I said, devalued position, salary cap number being a lot lower this year. And there's a lot of really quality running backs that could come in and give the Eagles some good reps. Once again, I don't really know what these guys are going to get on the market, but I'm just sifting through these names. I'm trying to find out which one of these guys, I'm calling their agents. I'm trying to find out which one of these guys is going to come in, maybe play the waiting game, and find out which one of these guys is going to come in on a cheap one-year deal basically for playing time, to show what they can do. Because there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of names here that, I don't know which ones are going to go. So I'm just going to, rattle them off. Todd Gurley's a guy, didn't do a ton last year. Not sure what his market value is. Duke Johnson, he's more of a pass-catching back once again. But you know what? There's definitely value there. And I think he's a decent runner. Mark Ingram's an interesting name at 32. I don't know. He didn't have much of a year last year. I don't know what he's got in the tank that's still there. But if he has anything left, he's definitely a tough, durable running back between the tackles that would complement Miles Sanders very well if he can still play. I don't know if he can still play. You're going to have to bring him in to see. Guy like Matt Breida, who's an explosive, very capable guy, but he also has fumbling issues. Mike Davis came on really strong last year for Carolina. He's a guy that, I think he might have played his way into a better contract, because he was playing very well for them once Christian McCaffrey went down. Carlos Hyde, another guy, a little up there in age, but once again, a tough, durable runner in between the tackles. Definitely a guy who's relegated at this point to spot duty, to spot work. Leonard Fournette, I'm surprised to see a lot of people are undervaluing him. I would love to get him. I would actually pay a little bit extra to get him, because he's still young. He's 26, and he just, to me, has a ton of upside potential. He became the lead back for Tampa last year. I mean, at the end of the day, if the contract's not out there for him amongst the market, I think he takes a hometown discount to stay there and play with Tom Brady, because he's still a very high potential running back. He's only 26. He's a former top five pick, and if you watched him, I mean, he's a Pro Bowler in this league, and he's 26. He should make a huge contract, but he's a perfect example of what I say that running backs are devalued in this league. He's a prime example of that, because I'm looking at him as he's not even high on the list of free agents, which I think is ridiculous. This guy here, to me, I would go for a guy like him. I would go 3 years, $5 million. A year type of thing, maybe even higher, just to secure him. I believe in him that much. I think he could be a lead back for the Eagles, or at least take the type of carries that I'm talking about. Those in between the tackles, maybe, carry the ball 200 times a year type of player. I think that he's definitely probably my favorite on this list of names. Now, as far as receivers go, there's not a ton. I really like the receivers that the Eagles have. I think that they're, like I said, I want to draft the guys six. I don't even want to bring a receiver in, to be honest with you, but there are some interesting names. I would rather just handle it through the draft. But there's a lot of guys, once again, for the right price would definitely be interesting. I mean, the thing is, I feel like receivers are so important now that, guys like Breshad Perriman, who last year signed a big one-year contract for $6.5 million, or Corey Davis, who I really liked him when he was coming up in the draft. I really wanted the Eagles to get him. I thought he went way too high. the year that he did. I think these guys will get decent sized contracts because they both had decent years. A guy like John Ross, though, who's disappointed year after year, a lot of it because of injuries. If the Eagles could bring him in on a cheap 1 year deal, I think I'd really be happy with that. A guy like Kendrick Bourne, he really came on strong last year. His last year in San Francisco, he carved out a spot for himself there. He's a guy I'd have some small interest in. A guy like Will Fuller, another speed guy, always injured, but definitely has explosive potential, and has had some good years in this league. Once again, all based off of, guys with speed like him and John Ross. I mean, John Ross probably is the cheapest guy on this list, but guys like him definitely have, they definitely have some upside that would be interesting. Guys like Chris Conley, he's another speed guy. He's been in the league a long time now. I'm not sure. He's 29. I'm not sure if he's still got those wheels. But he's another guy I'd like to see bring him into the mix. Guy like DeMarcus Robinson from Kansas City, which the Eagles were rumored to have a lot of interest in last year before he signed a 1 year deal with Kansas City. That's another guy that I think looks interesting. Another guy you could bring in, could give some reps. Because even though I did want Greg Ward back, his stats were not that impressive. Greg Ward is still a guy who's averaging like 9 yards a catch, which for a slot guy, that's not bad. He's reliable. He's going to catch, if you throw it to him, he's going to catch it. He has the ability to get open underneath. I like him, but these definitely a lot of guys that you could bring in to improve that position, the receiver position, especially the slot receiver position. A guy like Curtis Samuel, who's 25 and had a career year last year, I'd love to see a guy like that. But once again, I think he's going to get a decent payday where he's at. He had 851 yards last year, which is a very good season. A guy like Demir Byrd, he put up some decent stats in New England last year. He's another guy who's fast. But every time I saw him, it looked like he couldn't catch the damn ball. And I don't know if he was he was kind of the best of what they had. But he's another guy. Like all these guys, if you can – I'm calling all these guys, all their agents. I'm trying to find out who can take a one-year deal, who can take something inexpensive to be in the mix for playing time. Another guy, Isaiah McKenzie from Buffalo. Here's another guy who carved out a small niche for himself in Buffalo, but obviously he's playing behind – they have one of the better receiving corps in the league between John Brown, Cole Beasley, and Stephon Diggs. And they also drafted a guy last year who came in pretty well, Gabriel Davis. So there wasn't a lot of playing opportunity for Isaiah McKenzie, but he's a guy who I think that you might have something there. Maybe bring him in. Maybe he can be a little bit of a steal. He's only 26, but he showed playmaking ability. They found ways to get him involved. He scored 5 touchdowns last year, despite being 5th on the depth chart behind all those guys. There were still times where they decided to get him involved because he had some playmaking ability. So he's a guy that I'd be interested in. There's a lot of guys. Like I said, whoever's willing to take the cheapest deal. There's a lot of good quality free agent names out there. The Eagles just have to find them. They have to play the waiting game. They have to wait this out, and they're going to have to bring these guys in on the cheap. But there's definitely guys that can bolster our receiving core or can show some things. Byron Pringle, another guy from Kansas City, who had some small moments. Maybe he's a guy, diamond in the rough, that you can unearth and get something out of in Philadelphia. But once again, I mean, receiving, I really like to just stick with the young guys that we have. I think that where they really need to hit home runs is on the defensive side of the ball. I really feel like they need – I feel like the offensive side, and I've gone over this in previous podcasts, I like our line. I like our young linemen. I like a lot of our young weapons. I feel like our offense wouldn't even need a lot to be a competitive offense, to be a solid offense going forward in the new year. But the defensive side is a different story. I do think that they're going to have to make some cuts. I already think that they don't really have a ton. I mean, the fact that Jim Schwartz – I think that we didn't win a lot of games last year, but a couple of them were really on Jim Schwartz doing a lot with a little. I mean, there really wasn't a ton of talent after the front four. I mean, the linebacking core was barren for most of the year. Even some of the good linebackers that they have, like T.J. Edwards, who looks solid, he was out a lot of games. The secondary, outside of Darius Slay, they lost Rodney McLeod towards the end there. Those are probably only two players in the entire secondary worth anything. Jalen Mills, I think he played admirably, but mostly the back, you know, between the secondary and the linebackers, there's just not a ton of talent there. So I really feel like they need to hit, especially if they trade guy like Darius Slay, which is, you know, there's obviously some rumors going around that might be a possibility. Didn't really play that great anyway. But ultimately, you know, where they really got to hit is they got to find some guys, on the defensive side. I think they got to find some good one-year candidates or some good cheap value guys on the defensive side of the ball. Some interesting names. A guy like Trent Murphy from Buffalo, formerly of Washington. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, I don't know what his value is in the league out there, but he'd be an interesting guy to bring as a rotational pass rusher. Solomon Thomas, former number two or number three pick from San Francisco. That's an interesting name. I don't know, you know, he definitely fell behind a very good defensive line, so maybe his situation was more other guys were performing better, but he's a guy I'd like to see. I don't really know, I'd definitely be interested to bring him in for like a one-year deal type of thing and see if he has any of the type of qualities that made him an incredibly high draft pick. Another guy I always liked was Vic Beasley, although he's had up and down career. He's another guy I'd bring him in, you know, give him a shot, give him a rotational rusher type of player. Obviously he was a high first round pick also. So these guys, I don't know how many opportunities they have in the league or if their opportunities are running out, but once again, if they're willing to take cheap deals, I would love to see them in Philadelphia Eagles uniforms in the future. I think that those are some good options. I'm not sure if the Eagles are very interested in linebacker. And to be honest with you, as far as linebackers go, I mean, they usually bring a guy in that, you know, the cheap, like when they're looking for cheap one-year deals, they pretty much, when it comes to bringing in linebackers, it's like they almost want to bring in a guy for free. The one linebacker they brought in last year retired abruptly, and we can't really say that he ever would have been anything anyway. So I'm not even going to try to guess. I would almost have to go to the bottom of the market to even have a clue of what type of linebacker that the Eagles might bring in. So I'm not even going to try. I mean, that's something that, they never really seem to put value into that. I would almost expect them to not bring anybody in this year because they did draft two linebackers last year and try to see what they have, because they have a lot of good prospects at linebacker. Got a lot of good young guys that look decent at linebacker. So I almost don't expect them to bring anybody in. But they typically bring in at least one veteran. I'm not going to guess at who that's going to be, though. That's damn near impossible to know what they're thinking, because they really go, bottom of the barrel there to try to find a veteran guy that usually doesn't do much for us anyway. So it's not even worth looking into. As far as secondary cornerbacks and safeties, once again, not a lot of money. So I can't even look at some of the top names. Jalen Mills, I would like to bring him back, though. I continue to say that. I know a lot of people aren't really huge fans of Jalen Mills, but there's some guys out there that might be on the cheaper side. Guys like Mackenzie Alexander, who I think would be an upgraded slot corner, younger guy as well. He's a former first round pick. Once again, these are the type of guys that I'm looking at. Mike Hilton from Pittsburgh. He's a guy that you might be able to get on a cheap deal. He's a tough guy. I think that he's anybody that comes from Pittsburgh is typically a tenacious defender. I think that he's a solid option. He kind of would remind me of like a Kerry Williams type when the Eagles didn't really put they're not bringing in blue chip guys. You know what I mean? He would bring a guy like that. But I think he could be a solid second cornerback if that's what they decide to do. If Jalen Mills were to slide back to quarterback too, I ultimately think that might be a better way to go. But those are, you know, to me they're comparable. Then you got a guy like Malik Hooker, a safety, who when he came out, I mean, I think they were comparing him to Ed Reed. I mean, this guy has, when he's healthy, he's got range. He's a rangy free safety, and the Eagles need that. That's a guy that I think should be very high on the Eagles priority list. I don't know, he's one of the guys that, even though he's been injured a lot and I don't know what to make of him, he's a guy that I think that, based off the fact that the Eagles haven't really had a free safety like that, they don't really have a free safety like that right now on the roster, especially since Roddy McLeod is coming off of a major injury. We don't know what to expect or even when to expect him. He's a guy that I definitely look at and say, I would like to see him. I mean, he's from Indianapolis once again, which a lot of the Eagles' new coaches are transplants from Indianapolis along with Sirianni. So maybe there's a connection to be had there. Another one would be Xavier Rhodes, who had a pretty good year last year after having a horrible year in Minnesota. Once again, there's some connections there. from Indianapolis last year. So maybe these guys can come up the pipeline and rejuvenate their careers in Philadelphia. Those are the type of long shots you have to take, and you have to hope that you hit on a few of them, and then hopefully they won't cost too much as well. Now, when it comes to the secondary players, though, I'm not even sure what to expect, considering that I'm not even sure what the predominant coverage is the Eagles are going to run. Every defense is different. I don't know if they're going to be a cover two defense, a cover three defense, a man cover defense. I don't know what they're going to do. So it's really hard to project what I would say would be a good fit when it comes to cornerbacks and safeties, based off the fact that I don't really know what the future is of the defensive, what the main coverages are going to be running. But I definitely like guys like Quentin Dunbar, who I think is, he's specific to a certain type of coverage. He's had some success. He's a little bit older now. He's 29, but he's had some success in this league, especially when he was in Washington. He also had a little bit of a blip on the radar last year with some legal trouble, but he got out from under that pretty quickly, so I don't really think that's a concern. A guy like William Jackson from Cincinnati, I don't know what he's going to get on the market. Super athletic guy. Both these guys have great measurables. You know what I mean? That's something that I'm looking at. A guy like Gerrion Conley as well, another guy who is flash, but he's 26, has a lot of injuries as well, a lot of inconsistencies. That's how you're going to get guys like this. None of these guys are really going to be consistent, but you have to try to, you have to hit on one of these guys. A guy like Kevin King out of Green Bay, once again, great measurables guy. Not really sure what his value is on the market. There's a lot of guys like that. There's a lot of guys that, the Eagles have to have some luck. They got to hit on one of these guys and basically, hope for the best. Hopefully they can get him in here on a pretty inexpensive deal. I wouldn't be too mad about Chidobe Awuzie either out of Dallas, who I think has had some good moments, but once again, not consistent. None of these guys are spectacular. That's the thing. You really have to lower your expectations when it comes to the Eagles, because, they just don't have a ton of money. I also like Akili Witherspoon. He's a guy who I thought came on pretty strong last year for San Francisco. He was really up and down. Fabian Moreau, he's another guy from Washington. I thought he's had some up and down, moments in his young career. He's 27. There's a lot of really good, you really have to sift through the sift through these names, see who's willing to come in here for not too much. But there's some very good looking prospects that the Eagles could bring in and have some success with. It's really going to be interesting to see what they can do, with what they have. So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. I think that the next episode, unless some big news happens, I really want to go around the division and look at each individual team, do a bit of a breakdown on each individual team's needs in the upcoming free agency market and needs in the draft, obviously getting closer to the draft. But coming into free agency, I think it'd be a good time to do that. So I think that the next couple of pods will be about that. I'll try to do some individual team breakdowns of when I look around the division, what I see. Because obviously this is a bad division, and the only way that the Eagles are going to have a chance is if the division stays bad. Because I don't think the Eagles are going to definitely do a 180 turnaround anytime soon. But I do think they can compete in this division, because I do think this division is that bad. So I'm going to break them down. I'll probably start off with the Dallas Cowboys, because they're going to be the biggest name going into the tag deadline, and then I'll probably do the Washington team, because Washington's they're the reigning champs, the reigning division champs, and they also have one of the brightest upsides as far as the future. I mean, until they get a quarterback, the quarterback's gonna be the only thing holding them back. But with their defense, and they did find a couple of good young players in the draft on the offensive side last year, I think that they're definitely set up to be one of the toughest challenges in 2021. And then also the Giants. The Giants have a pretty decent, I think they're going to be held back by Daniel Jones at the end of the day, but they showed some strides last year. So I'll go over all these things in the upcoming podcasts. That's pretty much it. So I'm going to end the podcast there. So that's it for episode 17. If you guys are new to this podcast, if you made it this far, I would love a follow. Other than that, thanks for listening. This has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman.